Okay, yeah, so following my Minhag, one day delayed here, but so the Ramban, and this, you know, we've talked about this, but this really just closes it out. So as we talked about five parshiyot ago, the Ramban's theory of the Mishkan, unlike Rashi, right? Rashi sees the Mishkan only as kapara for the Egel, only necessary post-Egel. According to the Ramban, it was always necessary. Why is it necessary? Because it is a portable Har Sinai, right? After Har Sinai, you need it to carry that with you. And therefore, for the Ramban, the Mishkan is very much modeled on Har Sinai. And as the Ramban opens this unit, he closes this unit that way as well. So all the way at the end of the Parsha and the end of the Sefer, Moshe cannot enter the Ol Moed because God's presence is there in the cloud, and God's presence fills the Mishkan. Now, first of all, the Ramban notes that there's a little bit of unclarity what exactly what that means. According to Pshat, he thinks Al derech Pshat, Vavur Shamar, Vaidaber Adonai Elav Ba'ol Moed, Lo Nichnas Moshe Mishkan, Aval Kara Oto Me'ol Moed, Vamad Petach Ha'ol Vaidaber Elav. So he says the Pshat is that Moshe never enters, right? God only ever speaks to him from within, and he stands at the door. However, Chazal do not understand it that way. Rabbeinu Amru, Katav Echad, Rav Lo Yechal Moshe, Lavo'ol Moed. Chazal note that in one place it says, I mean, our pasuk, Moshe did not enter, could not enter. But in another pasuk, Bamidbar Perek Zayin, Echriya Kishachana Alav Ha'anan, sorry, Ubevo Moshe El Moed, right? He comes, right? And therefore, Chazal say that if he says, Kila Da'atam, Ubevo Moshe El Moed, She Yavo Sham Belo Kriya, the Chazal assume Moshe actually entered. He was allowed to enter when he wanted. He says it's just two different times. If God's presence is intense, inside with the Anan, then Moshe can't enter. And when it's not, then Moshe can enter as he would like. Okay. But then the Ramban, so earlier though in this piece, the Ramban says, but what is the point? Why is there this idea of a cloud that either permanently or at least while it's present prevents Moshe from entering? So he says, this is the closing of, again, what we talked about, where he says, but Tam Shel Yavo Sham Bela Rishut, the reason you have this cloud is that you can't enter without permission. Aval Yikrenu V'Yavo B'Toch Anan Kasher Asab Har Sinai. He can only come with permission like at Har Sinai. That God's presence invites Moshe into the cloud at Har Sinai. And this, again, is part of the Ramban's general thesis, that the Mishkan is Har Sinai, movable. And just like there, God's presence speaks to Moshe, and Moshe can enter, or he can only enter when invited, into the cloud. So too, the Mishkan has a cloud. And we'll see in a few parshiot, but there's another time when the cloud is where God appears in the Mishkan, and that is on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes in, he makes a cloud out of the
Ktoret.
And what does the Pasuk say? Ki be'anan, Yirael HaKapor, in the cloud I will appear at the Ktoret. And then you have the Machloket, the Chazal, and the Tztukim of what exactly it means. Do you make the cloud of smoke before and bring it in? Do you make it while you're in there? But the point is that this idea of the cloud being at the center where God's presence is, for the Ramban, is a manifestation of Har Sinai. Okay? The other point that there's a few other things that emerge from this Ramban. Another point is that if you remember all the way at the beginning of Sefer Shemot, the Ramban had asked a question, but it's a good time to remind you of this, that what did the Ramban ask? The Ramban said that the theme of Sefer Shemot is Sefer HaGi'ula. So then the Ramban asked the question, essentially, then why doesn't Sefer Shemot end in Parshat B'Shalach, Yitro, something like that, right? What is Trumat Tzavei Kitis Tzavayaka Pekudei? So Moshe says that Geula isn't just redemption. Geula is a return to a lost place, to a lost status, to a lost state, lost reality. And the Galut in Mitzrayim wasn't just a physical enslavement, but it was also a spiritual problem. And therefore, you can't talk about the Jews plausibly having full geula until they return to that relationship that they had with God. And that's why Matan Torah and the Mishkan are part of Sefer HaGeula, because that completes the picture. The spiritual, ideological component of Geula is here. So for the Ramban, that makes sense. That the last, it makes sense. The last thing in Sefer Bamidbar, in Shmot, is God's present returning to the Jewish people, because that's what we were missing. It's that which lacks the, that made us lack the full status of Geulim. And therefore, the return to having a portable Har Sinai with God's presence is for him also the manifestation of Geula, which is why this whole story is even included in Shmot. Okay, so that's the second point that emerges from the Ramban. The third point that the Ramban hints to is that Shmot doesn't end in Shmot, because Moshe doesn't actually talk to God in the Ohel Moed and isn't allowed in the Ohel Moed in Shmot. When is he allowed in? Vayikra Aleph Aleph. And this is an important point to realize, that as much as Shmot is an independent unit, as the Ramban notes, the Sefer HaGeulah, it sets up the story of Vayikra. Vayikra is not really a narrative for the most part, but it sets up the theme of Vayikra, which is God's presence in the Mishkan. Right? Shmot sets up God's presence returning to Israel, but God's presence in the Mishkan actually inviting Moshe in, which is left on a cliffhanger, as it were, in the end of Shmot, is picked up directly in Vayikra. What I can't get into too much is that this is a little bit weird. This would all make sense if the last, what I just read, was the last pasuk in Shmot, but it's not. There are three more pasukim in Shmot after this. And what are they? That when the cloud would lift, the Jews would travel, and if it wouldn't, it wouldn't. So, if you stopped Shmot at Pasuk Lamed Hey, it would be about God's presence returning, and that picks up in Vayikra. The problem is that there's then three psukim about the role of the Anan in the Jews' travel. And that seems to be connected to nothing. Right? What is that connected to? And this is a point I've heard many times from Rabbi Liebtag, that what he calls the double ending of Sefer Shmot is that Shmot seems to end on two themes. One is God's presence in the Mishkan, and the other is God's presence in the camp. And Vayikra picks up on theme one, and Bamidbar picks up on theme two. And in that sense, he sees Shmot as actually having two prongs that it ends with, picking up on two books simultaneously, which makes sense because Vayikra and Bamidbar are not actually consecutive in any real way. Because remember, Vayikra, how long does all of Sefer Vayikra take? 8 days. 8 days, right? All of Sefer Vayikra takes is mostly laws, right? It's basically frozen in time. And even those 8 days are repeated in Bamidbar, because the inauguration of the Mishkan is repeated in Bamidbar. So it's 8 days, of which much of that overlaps with Bamidbar. So it's not like Shmot happens and then Vayikra happens, then Bamidbar happens. It's Shmot happens and then Vayikra and Bamidbar happen at the same time. And therefore it makes sense that Shmot would have a double ending that leads you into the next two books. But that's something that I won't develop too fully, because we're already running late today because of Rosh Chodesh, so we'll stop there.